Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
you got it! It's time for episode 590 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top five songs and movies of the week. Congratulations, you have reached Checkpoint Coachella on the road to summer 2022. I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, Howard Kramer. What's up, Stard?
What's up, man? Checkpoint Coachella.
We're here.
We're here.
Of course, you and I did an incredible recording just covering that first day of Coachella back on Friday. People could check that out on PremStream.
Yeah, little housekeeping. Last week, I got sick, not COVID. We couldn't do the Who Charted show. And then by the time it was better, it was the weekend, and I can't send it to Earwolf to upload over the weekend. So we had to put something out. We put out a PremStream, and it's a real good one. So head on over to Kramer's Patreon shop.
Yeah, head on over there. It's a bonus, and you get some great coverage. And we had technical diffs, biomedical diffs, all kinds of stuff. But we're glad to be back with you. And we're lucky enough to rebook our guest that we had booked for last week. Here he comes now. You know him from clubs, colleges, and events all over North America and beyond. Please welcome to the show, Matt Lieb.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Matt?
Welcome. Stoked to be here to talk music with my my favorite music guys.
Well, right on. Yeah. Hell yeah. We're always hanging out, talking about
tunes. Love good tunes. Love to listen. Love to play.
Right on. Oh, what do you play?
I play guitar and piano, both very mediocre at both. But
have you ever been in a band or played live?
Oh yeah, I was in a band in high school called Makeshift. And
what was the genre there?
Makeshift. I would say bare naked ladies, if that's a genre.
BNL core.
Yeah. So the lead singer he enjoyed him some bare naked ladies, and we kind of at some point pivoted over to a more jazzy rock feel. Yeah, we weren't great, but we did our best. It was alternative rock in the in the early 2000s.
Going jazz is a bold move if you're not too great on your instrument.
No, yeah, I mean, it was jazzy. It was a bluesy jazzy.
We have
a
chops. Blues rock. Let's move into jazz.
Let's go into jazz.
Yeah, we're not good at our instruments, so let's make the scales weird.
It's getting a lot of notes crammed in there.
Yeah, exactly. It's the good notes that I'm not playing. You know,
which band got you laid more? Which genre got you laid more?
Bare Naked Ladies or jazzy? I think it was
it's a fight to the death right there.
Yeah, it really was. I think it was a net neutral in that neither got me laid. But there was I did get propositioned by an underclass gay man who was very nice, and I told him I'm not gay. And he said, I respect that. And then we just became friends.
Right. But, that was for the jazz or the BNL?
That was at that point we had gone into jazz. And okay. I think, you know.
Pulls a different crowd.
He's a classy guy.
Yeah. He was a classy guy. And yeah, we were played tennis in high school together on the fucking, it was PE. So I wasn't on a tennis team. Anyways,
you make
it was a bad
most
band.
Of your connections. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's find out what music chart we'll be counting down this week. First off, I will rap the history of recorded music. Here we go.
How about that?
Music. We used to play LPs. 8 tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. Coachella. What the F's next? NFTs. Tunes. All right.
Hell yeah.
Very timely lyrics, because we streamed Coachella, as we said, all this weekend. And,
yep, Coachella.
I gotta say, like, we both agreed the stream was fantastic. Like, it felt refreshing.
They do a good job.
Felt like live music is back. Mm. It was a great mix of acts. Learned
some
things.
My only complaint is those interviews in between.
Yeah.
The girl with the t-shirt.
My fiance actually did that a couple years in a row.
Really?
Yeah, she did those, you know, like, yeah, the interstitial.
Couch lounge in the
Hanging out in the couch lounge with Future Islands and being like, so, do you guys enjoy playing music? And they're like, yeah. And they're, okay, back to you, music.
This is bigger a fest than you're used to, right?
Yeah, it's like she literally does. This is not her beat. She's like a political comedian and pundit, and she just wanted to get free tickets. And so, yeah, we got to go for free a couple times.
Oh, that's cool. Who did you get to see?
We saw Radiohead. We saw Lady Gaga.
Ah, that one. Yeah.
We saw Bon Iver.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you know, it was good. It was a good. It was, you know. Coachella's fun, especially if Radiohead's there. They're the best band in the world.
They did, but I will, I confess, one of the years they were there, I skipped them to just watch Idea and Abilities on a tiny stage at the same time.
That is unbelievable that you would do such a thing. They are the greatest band in the world.
I was sleepy already. I didn't want to add to it.
They're not actually sleepy, people. This is a misconception of Radiohead.
Oh, fight me. Go.
You think they're a sleepy band because the guy's always, you know, warbly, drony sound.
He even has a hard time, you know, staying awake up
No,
there.
He's not.
His eyes aren't fully open.
He has a lazy eye. That's not him being tired.
I'm not calm.
He works really hard up there, and they truly rock out. All right, I'm done defending Radiohead.
I think his mom had 5 puppies, and he was the one she threw out of the litter.
he's absolutely the runt of the litter. I've seen a picture of his brother, and I was like, oh no! Like, his brother looks really good.
He's like a male model. Wow.
Yeah. But he's not. I think him being ugly is half the reason I like the band.
Yeah. You know? I think it gives some credibility for sure.
Right, exactly.
Have you seen, he's morphing into Willie Nelson now.
Yeah, like, he's
literally becoming the same person with the same guitar. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Does he have braids and stuff, like long hair?
Yeah, he's got a ponytail going on and a hat. He's doing a hat sometimes, which I don't, not really, you know, it's like those like witch hats, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I saw them in Budapest. That's my claim to radio.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, and that was one of the best concerts of my life.
Were you volunteering for Viktor Orban's fascist campaign? I'm just kidding.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
What were you doing?
Don't say anything. I was just traveling. And
vampire hunting.
Yeah.
Budapest is Americans are sleeping on Budapest. That is an incredible city.
I'd love to go there.
Yeah, I've heard. Me too. Okay, well, let's see what some of our songs are this week.
Yeah, we got the Apple Music charts topping the USA.
On. Maybe there'll be some Coachella artists on there. We'll see.
Yeah, coming in at number 5.
Number 5.
Lil Durk, What Happened to Virgil?
Oh, that's great. Lil Durk is, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're a Chicago guy. You root for these guys, right? Talk
to my TT about my prof. Learn to survive. I carry my chop. Before I was 12, I went to the doctor. You my blood, you say you gon' pop me. Follow a loyalty, never about thotties. Don't mention my name if you mention them bodies. Don't mention my name if you mention them bodies. Stop taking drugs, sending a song. How you gon' blame me? Bitch, I'm a star. Don't drink par, only like walk, sipping on water.
Durk is good, I guess. He raps so fast, I don't know. It's like hard for me to jump in there and figure
it's
out.
It's the new style, man. This is, he's got the Chicago drill type style. It's it's the trap drill music that was invented out there, and he's one of the few like American drill artists that I actually listen to, because I enjoy the whole genre is turning into like kind of the 90s horrorcore.
Yeah, we were talking about Gravediggers just recently.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I enjoy when hip hop meets professional wrestling.
Yes.
And so
big characters.
Yeah. This is why I was a big Bone Thugs and Harmony fan for years and years. Right. And I like it when it's like, we're going to murder you and then we're going to dig up your grave and murder you again. And then you're going to murder me, but then I will come back as a ghost and murder your soul. Yeah. And it's like,
I top you on murder.
Yeah, exactly. I just like that they like scary movies.
I like that. I just like it when it's a little slower. Like I like Chief Keef and other guys like that.
Yeah, but it's like, it's evolved. Chief Keef is old now. He's 95.
Yeah.
He's like now.
He's dated, bro.
He's dated. Now it's, you gotta listen to Lil Durk. You gotta listen to other guys probably.
Lil Baby.
Mm-hmm, Lil Baby. Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of... Lil's going strong still. That's nice.
For sure.
It is.
All right. I mean, I did see some rap. There was, who was it?
Brockhampton. You see them?
I did see that.
That was their last show, they claim. Or this is last show.
Oh, that was a farewell?
And then they announced like their last album. They made a big sort of PR moment out of Coachella.
Okay. They're like Motley Crue with their final tour.
Right, yeah. That's I never really saw them before, but they were fun, and it's a fun, like, diverse crew. Just felt like
it is fun that it's diverse. I just like, if you're gonna have as many guys as Wu-Tang, like you gotta bring it. Like I don't know, you know what I mean? I know it's hard for me to figure out who those guys are.
I respect any rap group that is like, we are okay splitting a paycheck amongst 12 people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like that is...
They're more of a collective. They all live in the same farm somewhere.
Exactly.
Down in
it's
Texas.
A co-op. Exactly. And that's I respect that because, anyone can
go. We were saying
solo.
That about Arcade Fire. How do they make any money with the 12 people up there?
Probably the guy and the girl... They keep all the money.
I would think so.
I mean, I don't know. Are you friends with them personally? Do you guys know them?
No, I saw them on a plane once. They were flying coach, so they can't be that rich.
Well, they're Canadian,
Yeah, that's true.
They're down-to-earth people.
And they win. They win on the exchange rate.
All right, coming in number four.
Number four.
Lil Baby with In A Minute. We the who's who's. Still running around with
more. Shit ready, packed to go, y'all. I'll tell you who was good rap-wise. Did you see Run the Jewels? Did you see any of that?
Oh, they're great.
That was really good.
They were, Killer Mike was on fire, and I was laughing because LP kept complaining about the heat. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Like he seemed like he was really having a hard time in that heat. Like he just couldn't take it.
It's really hot out there.
It was
there.
Really funny because Killer Mike seemed fine, and you would think, he's a bigger guy that he'd be struggling more.
Yeah,
right. Like LP
Killer
was
Mike's
taking
the
it
one
harder.
Right, he kept covering for LP by going, "Hey, we're really glad to have you guys out here."
Yeah, and LP kept going, "I know it's hot. I had to wear shorts today. Yeah. anyone got water?"
Yeah, does anyone have a fan? I love LP. LP came on my Sopranos podcast to talk an episode of Sopranos.
Oh, cool. Wow.
It was super random. Most of our guests are like comedians and sometimes a couple of musician or music people. But like he apparently is a huge Sopranos fan. And
so, he's a listener of the show?
No. He was a reader of my co-host's movie blog, Film Drunk. I guess he really likes movie blogs. And yeah, so my co-host Vince Mancini asked him, and he was like, all right, I'll talk about The Sopranos. So we went to his recording studio, and he was a really nice guy. And you know what? I'm a big fan of Run the Jewels. I think they're the most weirdly underrated hip hop group, even though they are, you know, at Coachella, you know, it's like you could argue they're perfectly rated, but I think they should be bigger than they are.
I agree with you too.
I feel like for that old style of like, I mean, they're not like doing some old style, but just as far as like even just the excitement of the old school, the way it was back in New York back in the day, they do that sound better than anybody else.
Yes, 100%.
And it's like exciting and creative. You know?
And the lyrics are conscious, which I appreciate, but they're conscious without being like, I don't know, like overly earnest, like cringy. They're really funny and also politically charged, which is hard to do. It's hard to do that. You either take yourself too seriously or you just turn into a clown. And they've like skirted that line where it's like, they're perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Killer Mike, like, I just respect that guy so much. Like he's so skilled and like hard hitting on the mic and everything. But then he also seems like even his stage banter seems like a good guy. You know what I mean? Like he's like looking out for everybody. He's an activist and he's like positive in this refreshing way. I don't know. I just, I like that guy a lot.
He's great.
They had like real scratching. It just felt like very pure, you know, it's like what you want out of hip hop.
Yeah, and it's like they don't, you know, it's like you said, it's kind of the more old school style. It's like no one really does that much anymore. I mean, like maybe like Kendrick does it a little bit.
Their beats still sound fun. You know?
Yeah, 100%. But they're a good group, good couple of guys.
Good guys.
All right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
Here's a Coachella performer, Harry Styles, As It Was.
I mean, if this guy was the lead singer of Radiohead, no street cred. I'm just like, come on.
Exactly. You know,
it's not the same as Harry and the Radioheads.
Harry was great on Friday. We covered that on the Preem stream.
That is solid performer. First time I have ever heard a Harry Styles song.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know any of his music at all. I know he was in One Direction.
One Direction,
And then went solo, but I don't know his music at all. Maybe there's a hit song that I just don't know is his. That's
Watermelon Sugar is probably the biggest one, right?
Watermelon Sugar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's not super distinct music. It's kind of like if you know it's him, it's kind of good.
I feel like he's a bigger star than his songs are.
Yeah, that's
right.
Like he's still waiting for his just massive supernova song. Right. You know?
Which is crazy because he's headlining Coachella, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's got tunes, but they're not totally.
They're big
with
the ladies.
Everyone.
I mean, they are kind of like Jack Johnson or something. Like the ladies know every word.
Right, but it's like, he doesn't have a monster hit from what I know. Like he seemed like a choice of, I'm going to book him for butts in seats. Like he has to headline, like Harry Styles can't not headline. But I feel like that's, I don't know.
It touches on something that we were talking about too. Like, it seems like you get a pass if you're like, your music can be bland if you're really attractive.
Yeah.
Or if you have the right politics.
Yeah.
I felt like when I would see a band, even like a lot of the lesser known bands, sometimes they weren't that exciting, but I go, oh, okay, like it just kind of helps fill out the bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It just with him, it feels like, because like, who is the other headliner? Billie Eilish. Billie Eilish has some monster hits.
Monsters.
Yeah. And like she's, you know, I mean, I think Harry Styles is talented and whatnot, but she is, I feel like, a mega star of her own making. Yes. A little, at least I hope. I don't know. Is she, she's not like related to David Geffen.
Well, she's
Geffen
related to her brother who produces everything, but I mean, that's just, that's not like nepotism, really. I mean, he wasn't famous either.
Okay, but I think great.
You know, I agree that she is a whole new, like, reinvention of, like, the female pop superstar.
Yeah.
When you think of all the ones that have come before, they all have something in common. They do little dance routines, and they have a lot of pop songs, just any of the ones that you can name.
Yeah.
And then she's just, like, you know, she's whispering, and she's quiet, and these sparse beats come out. It's really a whole...
She's not doing the sexy thing, and she's not doing the anti-sexy thing,
right? Like pink,
which is very. It comes off as just like this.
She's made an interesting turn in the last couple of years, because I felt like when she came out, she was like very shrouded in sort of mystique and angstiness, and like you weren't sure like what her deal was. It seemed like dark.
She's a nice,
but now she seems so nice smiley and nice, and the girl next door a little bit, but she's still she's still like eccentric and alternative.
The e-girl next door, you know, she's still got the like you know, kind of gothy e-girl type thing, but she's
but you feel like you know her, like you're invested in her and Phineas.
I feel like she, before she had that mystique because she was like literally underage, right? And people like,
and unknown.
Well, no one wanted to like be like, hey, what's your deal? It's like, you know, you're just, it's too creepy. I always get creeped out when there's a like a famous 16-year-old. I'm always just like, well, why do we, I don't want
to, I want to ruin her adult life.
Yes, exactly. But
yeah, she does have a way of being menacing on stage and also super nice at the same time in a genuine way.
She seems cool.
Yeah, she kept saying on stage, she kept going like, what the fuck? Like, I can't believe, like, we shouldn't be headlining, but hey, this is fun. Yeah.
Yeah. She just won an Oscar. She's like, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, who should? If you shouldn't, who should?
Yeah. The fact that I actually know her music means that alone means she must be one of the most famous people in the world. It's either that or very obscure. There's no middle ground.
Right.
If I know who you are, then you must be mainstream or you must be playing for five people.
All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
This is Morgan Wallen. Whalen. Don't think Jesus.
This is the country guy. This is the guy who got banned for saying the N-word.
Oh, God.
Oh, he got banned?
He got banned, and I guess now he's just getting allowed to come back. Well, I mean, that's a fantastic track. So. I'm glad he fucked you all.
Yeah, he just exploded through the cancel.
With a little honky tonk track. Actually, he has a song with Lil Durk called Broadway Girls, where he sings the hook. It's basically just a redux of Old Town Road.
Yeah.
You know, it's not bad. It's not bad at all. I mean, you know, if Lil Durk has forgiven him, then certainly America can forgive him.
There you go.
Durk's
the peacemaker.
Yeah, I don't know any of his music. Was he the guy who went on Saturday Night Live and like got COVID and or something?
He was supposed to go on SNL.
Yeah.
And then it was like he was out making out with girls at a bar, and so they couldn't let him on. And then he had an N-word thing. But yeah, he had a song with he had one good song like 2 years ago with Florida Georgia Line. Mm-hmm. It was called Up Down. And it was just one of those goofy country anthems, but it was like just a little bit, you know, more.
Oh, he's the guy with the mullet. Like he really looks like just some.
Yeah.
The mullet's back.
The 80s.
Guys.
Yeah.
Mullet's back.
The mullet's straight up back. The coolest guy I know, the coolest young guy I know has a mullet, and he's handsome. You know, he doesn't need, but he does it. And I respect it.
It works for him.
Yeah. He's like, I mean, it doesn't really. I look at him and I go, why'd you do this? But, you know, he seems to be getting along just fine. I respect it. You know,
it's all people, like just Kenny Powers. This generation is just Kenny Powers.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
I'm
going to try to bring the rat tail back. That's what I want to do.
Yeah. Hell yeah. You got one back there?
No, but if I could grow one, I would. You know, it's my hair goes
all this off and go rat tail.
You should.
There you go.
You've got like really good hair for a Jew. Let me explain. I am also Jewish, but my hair just goes straight up. It doesn't get the longness. I like your. You've got nice hair.
Unbelievable to hear that, because I used to perm my hair because I wanted that body in it.
Yeah,
like that.
I dreamed
of having hair like that. The police had hair like that. I was like, why can't my hair get all tight, dyed blonde?
I always wanted straight hair. I always wanted long Kurt Cobain hair is what I wanted.
Do you have any pictures of your permed hair? Because that feels like a Howard era we have somehow skirted by.
Yeah, back in the day. I was like 15.
Oh, God,
I'll find one for
see.
You. I'll dig one up. Awkward times.
Back to Coachella. Did you guys see Danny Elfman?
Yeah,
that performance.
I didn't see him perform, but I've seen a still of him, and he's beautiful.
He looked like Carrot Top. He had the red hair, and then he's all beefed out.
Yeah,
and
he took off his shirt. He was tatted up, beefed up.
He's 68. That's insane.
That performance is like one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time. I was blown away by it.
I wish I had seen it.
It's hard to see. It's hard to find online now, so you got to watch this coming weekend. Tune in to Danny Elfman. It's unbelievable.
Like, it's a great orchestral redoing of all of his body of work.
Yeah.
But there's a core band in there. He's got Josh Fries, who's a killer drummer, and Wes Borland is one of his guitarists.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So there's like a core, almost like hard rock group, but then orchestra and all the singers, and they're pulling in like Batman and Simpsons and Oingo Boingo and all the new stuff, and it's crazy.
Oh, man. So they do the Pee-wee theme? That was a good theme.
The Pee-wee theme, like, it just made me so happy.
It's one of the most amazing fucking, like, I used to get pumped just listening to that. I used to fucking just be like, oh!
It's so crazy to be able to pull that stuff out as just a natural part of your set.
I'll tell you what, though, an old man singing the Pee-wee theme with his shirt off at a youth festival, it's a little odd.
It's questionable, but
he flexed, though, like that. I mean, that body of work is crazy. Yeah. Like, people forget. Yeah.
Did he do Party at Ground Zero? So, Oingo Boingo song.
I think he did, actually. And then at one point, he pulls out like the conductor, who's like, you know, this old guy conducting the orchestra, he starts in on a Boingo song and he says, oh, by the way, my conductor was the guitarist for Oingo Boingo, so he's going to play guitar on this.
Oh,
and it was
cool.
Just his old friend from Oingo Boingo. And
that rules.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Did he do Nightmare Before Christmas stuff too?
Yes, he did, yeah.
Oh, that rules.
What you realize too, hearing his stuff, even the Batman stuff, was like, Danny Elfman kind of dominates those movies in a way. Like,
totally.
Like, what you love about those movies is half his music.
Yeah.
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 Way more than you can say a lot about it.
So many
credits.
It's insane.
It's literally just him and John Williams are the ones who you can actually say that about. A lot of people are like, oh, what about Hans Zimmer? Not really. There's a couple of, like, Hans Zimmer things.
He's good and you like the music, but he's great. It doesn't make. It's not like a part of the movie as much.
There's a lot of, like, you know, movie score composers who are doing a great job, but you don't, the melodies themselves don't like stick out as like as iconic as like a Danny Elfman melody or a John Williams.
And you're American.
he's up there. He's got the same thing
he's
going on.
Yeah, he's of course there, but
when I heard
Howard
that Batman theme, I was like, oh man, this is almost why I like those Batmans like better.
Yeah,
because it has this music and this feel to it.
Yeah, he's very good, that Danny Elfman, and also
amazing.
I don't believe that he has ever been in the sun, because a ginger at 68 with that tight of skin,
right? He should be fried.
He should be totally just disgusting. But I believe he has avoided the sun for most of his life, so it's worked out.
He even got himself a night slot so he wouldn't have to deal with it.
Yeah, 100%. He's always doing night slots.
Night slots.
He's married to Bridget Fonda, which
is
I forgot about. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
I didn't know that at all.
Good shit.
No wonder he got all beefed up. He's got to keep up with the
keep up with Bridget. I realize I've only seen one movie with Bridget Fonda in it, and it was Godfather 3. Is there any others?
Oh, really? Single white female.
I never seen her.
Okay. Was she on No Man's Land?
She was a big 90s. I don't know what happened to her, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I just saw Godfather 3, and I was like, so that's Bridget Fonda. Not a great movie.
Jackie Brown.
I heard it wasn't.
Oh, yeah, Jackie Brown. That's right. That's right. Yeah, she's in that. She plays the hot girl.
Singles. Oh, Singles. I love that.
Oh,
that,
Singles, yeah.
That movie, yeah.
Grunge soundtrack.
Never seen it.
Oh, it's a great sort of time capsule of Seattle grunge heyday.
Nice.
Like Soundgarden and Alice in Chains, and all of them are like
if
actually.
Matt Dillon was in Temple of the Dog. That's what that movie is.
Yeah, exactly. All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
Jack Harlow, First Class.
Yeah. And I can put you in. First Class. I can put you in. First
Class. I've been a throw up the sex in a. This is one of those filler hits.
This doesn't sound like it's popping as much as.
No, yeah, not popping. Yeah. This feels like a B-side.
He's pretty good, though, right? Jack Harlow?
People like him.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not into this latest one. But I'll tell you who is. Go ahead.
Oh, I was say I know his verse on Industry Baby. And that was good. I heard a little bit of him on, I think, like a. I don't know. It was like a Drake track. And I was like, hey, yeah, he's pretty good. But
he is good.
That one was kind of boring.
If they got to bring in a white guy to sort of be the, superstar guy every few years, I mean, he's a competent guy to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. He seems like he's got, like, his flow seems nice. I like the timbre of his voice.
Mm-hmm. The culture seems to be with him, too.
Timbre? Tombre.
Hey, but there were some big hip hop headliners. They were both female at Coachella. Mm-hmm. Was Megan Thee Stallion on Saturday, and Doja Cat on Sunday.
Hell yeah!
Both were great. Doja Cat, I gotta say, blew me the hell away. Like
she's incredible.
I felt like she rose to a whole new level in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like herself, she was incredibly good, and she was just singing like no lip syncing or anything. Mm-hmm. Great dancing. Yeah. Great. The stage show was crazy, but then the band and the musical, like the live renditions of everything, like what we saw was a lot of pop and hip hop artists like playing tracks,
right?
And their tracks are great, but they just don't translate live the mm-hmm. same way.
Mm-hmm.
And her show was all live music, and just like. It was like fireworks.
Yeah.
It was crazy, those guys, how they were playing.
Yeah, I need to see it because I like the production value on Doja Cat tracks, but to hear with a live band sounds pretty tight.
Yeah, she's a good live performer. And then she brought out Rico Nasty for that one.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
I was hoping you saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rico came out.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, she's got a lot of hits, and they're all pretty much... dirty. Most, I mean, 9 out of 10 of them are dirty, but Megan's the same way. Megan is just full one thing. Full. She just comes out and it's just like, I'm the nastiest. I'm the dirtiest.
Every song
more
is about
ass than Doja.
Yeah. Every Megan song is just basically like, eat me out.
Yeah. I'm going to suffocate you with my
right
pussy.
This second.
You will drown in my cum. I like it. Cause she's very femdom and, some people enjoy that, but like, she's, I just like that she, every once in a while there will be a renaissance of people who are all competing for the, like, the crown of
the dirty crown.
Most disgusting.
Yeah.
And,
Lil Kim and Foxy Brown did it way back in the day.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, I feel like, Nicki and Cardi, kind of have that, like, feud almost where they're both, you know, but they, you know, they bring a little bit something more than just the nasty. But what I love is fucking Megan Thee Stallion coming out and just being like, I'm going to just be the nastiest queen. And more power.
And with
to
ass hanging out with the lights up pretty much the whole time.
Good stuff.
I had a listener send me some Megan Thee Stallion hot sauce from Popeyes. So I had that by the screen while I was watching it.
Nice. Is it good? Well,
I didn't taste it. I'm not opening that thing up, but it was multimedia.
Well, I think Kim Petras might have Megan Thee Stallion beat on the filth side.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
Because she performed on Sunday, and it was just, it was actually, it becomes almost comedy at that point.
Oh, like, yeah, right.
You're so laughing the whole time. It's so outrageous.
I think that's,
it was a lot.
It's like, RuPaul or something. They just go so far with
Yeah.
Oh, I need to hear some of that music.
Yeah. By the way, Doja Cat has a great TikTok account too. Like, she's a real,
of course,
she's
eccentric
posting
type. Yeah, yeah, she's fun on TikTok.
Straight out of Tarzana.
Yeah.
Really? She's from Tarzana?
Yeah. She is.
Get the fuck out. That is funny.
She's
half
member of the tribe too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love Doja Cat now. She's a Jew from the Valley? Yeah. Hell yeah.
She's like Lenny Kravitz. Like, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, that rules. I did not know. Was she bat mitzvahed? No.
I don't know. Oh. I think it's Googleable.
I know that she used to do like streaming. She used to be like a Twitch streamer or something.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or she like.
She's real comfortable on there.
Yeah, she's like funny. Like she makes me laugh. She does good shit. Is she the one who did Bitch I'm a Cow?
Yeah, they were playing that like when she went to go change in between songs, they were playing that.
That rules. But yeah, she like made meme music, you know. She was like that's how she started and then just continued making good music.
Right on. Hey, was that number 1?
That was number 1, yeah.
Oh, right on. All right, that was the music chart, and we'll be right back with the movie chart. My name is H. Michael Cray, and I'm here with my guest, Matt Lieb.
Hey, Matt Lieb here.
Brett Morris.
And this is the movie chart.
Movies, they're just like tweets. They release them constantly. Most of them we don't need to see. But when you get a good one, ooh-wee!
Movies! All right.
You were talking about Firme. What was their name?
Oh, yeah, Grupo Firme.
Yeah, I saw some of that show. It was great.
They were a band from Tijuana. They do Frontera music, you know, with the tubas and the trumpets. Yeah.
Banda?
Yeah, Banda.
Yeah, Banda. And people were going crazy for them.
The science of that, I mean, I could have stared at that for an hour. You know, most music, science. Even if you don't like it, you can kind of figure out what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
The science behind that music where they have two guys there with drums, you know, like 5-piece drum sets.
Yeah.
And when the guys start singing, there's no drums. There's not even like they bring the beat down. There's nothing.
Oh, interesting.
And then the guys are just moving back and forth. And then they're playing like trumpet and clarinet, just these runs.
Yeah.
It's just like there's absolutely no rhyme or reason to where they throw it in. I would seriously love to have someone explain that stuff to me.
Me too.
And then all of a sudden he'll come to like the end of an idea and you could tell he's summing it up. And then all of a sudden the drummers go ape shit for like 5 seconds. Absolutely nuts. And then back to nothing. It's incredible.
It's like a dream sequence.
It's the only music where the drums are just for like, oh no, I just for the part where it gets crazy.
Yeah, the accent, like the exclamation point.
Yeah, and it's then, like it follows the singing, or it'll follow like a brass instrument as opposed to like following like the rhythm of the bass or the guitars. It's very interesting. Yeah.
But it's like very personalized to what they're saying too, because like it never just like follows some like easy pattern. Like those horns come in and then they're going off on top of each other. And just to think that you would have two drummers at your disposal, but you would say, no, we would rather have clarinet. Like that is insane. Right. I mean, they're not like from Asia. They're not like from halfway around the world. They're from, this is from like a few hours south.
No,
they're, and it's like they're still using clarinet. Like,
yeah,
with all the music that has come through in the last 40 years, and it's like they made that clarinet. That's
the German influence.
Yeah, exactly.
The
They got that polka.
That music also fascinates me because it sounds to my dumb ears from an outsider like it sounds so traditional, like they're still in a very traditional, it's hard to hear like what is so youthful about this particular group.
Like you don't know they're talking about gangster shit, they're talking about like drug lords.
So I think it must all be in the it's all in the lyrics probably.
They're doing like narco corridos. Is that
corridos? Yeah,
they're doing narco corridos.
Did you see they were drinking the whole time, which I thought was fun.
Oh, like
they,
another thing, the whole time, incredible. Like in most bands, you would get in trouble for like outwardly trying to be wasted. There are these three lead singers.
Yeah,
and they're like, one of them's like an old guy wearing sunglasses. Then the next one is a guy with red hair. So I go, like his hair's dyed red and he's younger. So I go, okay, that's the clown. That guy must be the clown. And then a full third guy comes out who's not wearing any of the same outfit. He's got like a snowboard jacket on.
Yeah.
And then he's like the even bigger like I just need someone to explain it. And they were like a 25 piece band.
Oh,
they were
like what are they called?
Grupo Firme. They're like a they're a banda band, but they're like there's like so many of them out there. It's just like
and they weren't the just they weren't just casually kind of like sipping on beers or whatever. They were playing like drinking games.
Yeah.
And I saw like at one point one of the guys.
So Tijuana. It was incredible.
Did you see the guy came out with a upside down like cowboy hat?
Yeah.
And the guy's drinking out of the hat like a, you know, like a drinking game.
Yeah.
And, they're just getting drunk.
Everybody in the audience watching it is like so happy, like so happy with everything they're doing. And then even like the guy who just has like the bass guitar, just like all of a sudden he'll just start spinning around for 3 seconds and then he stops. It's really chaotic and insane and cool.
Oh, that rules. I need to see this.
Yeah, that's a cool thing. Everybody we're talking about is playing another set next week, so check it out, everybody.
Yeah, tune in. All right, back to movies.
Here we go.
All right, this is the top of the box office from this last weekend. Coming in at number five.
Number five.
Father Stew.
Oh, hey everyone, I'm Mark Wahlberg.
What's this one? Oh, this one.
The trailer for my new movie, Father
Stew. Oh, God, this thing where they introduce their trailers.
1940s? He's coming out to talk.
They do this now for everything. Yeah. I hate it.
It's hilarious.
It's a boxing movie?
Seventh time's a charm.
What is he, a father that trains boxers?
Keep guessing. Keep guessing.
This is like a Christian movie, isn't it?
Keep the trailer playing and let's see if you can guess what this fucking is.
Okay,
keep it going. It's a good game.
Bill, know you're fussing with this truck?
I'm a son. I'm just borrowing it.
I reckon it's a few months worth of cleanups on aisle four to pay.
Oh my God, Mel Gibson's in it.
Holy shit.
What can I get for you, miss? I got beef.
I can see that.
Hey!
Is it boxing?
Let's not waste either of our time. I'm a Catholic.
Well, ain't that what confession's for?
I can't date.
Oh my God, that's his voice tonight.
I thought you was going to say Hispanic.
Oh, so you start a youth camp to help out kids who are underprivileged? Oh,
these are all great guesses. if you saw, when I went and saw this movie, I had only seen.
You saw it?
I saw it. I had only seen the poster for it. That's all I'd I and the poster, it was like, you know, mugshot of Mark Wahlberg and then him as a father and then like some boxing gloves. And I was like, okay, so it's like sister act. Fine. No, it is straight up a Christian movie, except for it's Catholic. So everything goes bad for him. It's a true story of a priest who got basically ALS and died. And from that trailer,
why is that a movie?
Well, I mean, I understand it being like, because it was hard for him to be a priest because he had this like past and he became a priest. But he, while he was trying to be ordained, he got like this degenerative muscle disease and they wouldn't let him be a priest. And then they let him be a priest. And then I guess in his nursing home, as he was dying, he took a lot of confessions and, it is.
So what's the message of that? God doesn't want you to be too thirsty? Like, don't try to.
The message is literally, the more you suffer, the closer you are to God, which is the message of it's the message of Catholicism. And it's one of the reasons why this movie is so fascinating, because usually like an evangelical movie, like we're used to like a Protestant Christian movie in which it's like, I know times are tough, but if you just believe in God, you're going to get a bunch of money, and then they get a bunch of money.
Right.
That's usually with this. It's like, I know times are tough, but if you just stay the course, you will eventually die. And that's, no one's closer to God than a dead guy.
It's just like, take your medicine, America.
It's twisted. It's so twisted. Also, I didn't know Mel Gibson was in it, and I do not enjoy surprise Mel Gibson. I need to be warned.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, it's fascinating that that the Christian movie has taken a turn into like a different sect of Christianity.
Yeah, because Catholicism, I feel like any type of music or movie or whatnot, if there's like a political message or a religious message, like, you don't need to bake it into the pie and make it like the fucking entire thing. Like, you can make it a movie with a moral without it being so explicit. Right. Like, fucking Sister Act is a Catholic movie, you know? And that's not a movie that I went, well, what is this Catholic movie about forgiveness and the Pope and stuff? No, I just went, oh, that was a good ass movie. This one is trying real hard to be like a Christian movie. It's like every,
there's probably some right wing money behind that.
Oh, for sure. All of the bad guys are just people who don't exist. They're people like Mel Gibson plays his father, who is super mad that his son is being a priest for no reason. He's just like, his son was a fuck up before. And he's like, no, you're a Catholic. And not because he's racist against Catholics. He's just like, it's just like, I hate God. Fuck God. Boom.
Yeah.
And it's like, no one is like that.
Yeah. What dad is like, just be happy he's got a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
Is this the one that Mark Wahlberg made it himself or self-funded it?
He's going this way.
I'm pretty sure it's
him.
He's
like Kirk Cameron.
Yeah,
he's been trying to make this movie for years or whatnot, and
I'll play Father Stu.
Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna be Father Stu, and he puts on this like Southern accent because the guy's a Southerner, and his Southern accent is just him doing Danny McBride in Gemstones the whole time, and it's just not
copies it from TV.
Yeah, straight up. And so the whole movie you're watching like it's a comedy, and then as things get worse and worse and worse, and eventually end horribly, you're like, this is not funny at all. In fact,
terrible.
I always love when somebody's made a movie like that. Like, clearly he feels like he's on a holy mission to make this movie, but then he still puts in that scene where he's talking about beef, and then she's like, "Oh yeah, looks like you got beef on you."
Yeah,
he's hear that? Be sexy.
Yeah, he's got a beef. It's the sexy priest.
Sexy priest with ALS.
He gained weight for this role, and it is so funny because it's like, you are just wondering, you're like, I know he gains weight, but why? And then when he gets ALS, you're like, oh my God, this is so, it's very poor taste. A fat suit would have been fine.
Have you seen his itinerary for every day, like his schedule that he put out?
Yeah.
It is
wake
so
up at 5 in the morning, look in the mirror, say don't masturbate, then work out for 5 hours.
It is so psychotic and like unfun seeming. Yes. Like, it just seems like this is a joyless existence.
It's horrible.
As the Catholic
every single minute is accounted for and eating a prescribed amount.
I think a lot of that has to do with staying away from that army of kids he's got. It's like it gets him out of the house if he can account for every single moment.
I'm sorry I can't go to your birthday, Ralphie, but I got
it's when I do my fly curls.
I got to do my fly curls. And then at the exact time you're cutting your birthday cake, I'm going to be sitting fantasizing about what I would have done if I was on a 9/11 plane.
I would have stopped it.
All right. We got to get to the next movie.
Right.
Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Oh, this is Everything Everywhere All at Once. Mm. I'm going to kind of tune out a bit because I don't want to get spoiled on this one.
Do it.
Is this a Fiona Apple album? It's got a long title.
Miss Wang, are you with us?
Mrs. Wang. What is this movie? Do you know?
Everyone's telling me, like, you have to see it. You got to see it. It's incredible. But don't learn anything about it. Okay. So I don't even know
skip
what to
say. I would do a chart transplant. Unless you got something to
I'm
say.
I'm hearing incredible things, Matt.
I'll say this.
It?
I have seen it.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
You can't really. The only way I could spoil it is for me to be to join the chorus of people telling you you have to see this movie. So I'm not gonna hype it up for you.
Right.
But it's really, really good.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Real good. It's just it is very funny. It is. It's like watch the trailer. I saw the trailer a few times before I saw the movie, and I was like, I don't really know what this is about. It looks kind of like a goofy art movie, which I'm like, okay, I'll do that. And it is fucking hilarious.
Oh, one Jenny Slate's in it. Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
She's great.
She's got a small role, but the lead woman Michelle Yeoh. I don't know how to pronounce
Michelle Yeoh.
Yo, is it Yo? She's incredible. She's so good. And just all around fucking great movie. Not the best movie in the world, but it.
Well, now I don't want to see it. Now I don't want to see it. You ruined it for me.
Yeah. Good. Good. Now when you see it, you'll have moderate expectations.
Yeah, like man, I was really excited. God damn.
I'll say one spoiler. There's surprise Mel Gibson in it.
Oh, yeah, no. He jumps out.
Do you guys know the song This Is the Story of a Girl?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Okay. All right. That's
who sings that?
I don't actually know. Who
does that? Is that makeshift? Is that a makeshift?
That's makeshift.
Original?
Oh, right on.
It's by 9 Days. That's the name of the band.
Damn, that's obscure.
So if you guys know song.
It's a real one-hit wonder.
If you know that song, that's all you need to know about the movie, Everything Everywhere All of the Time. That's all you need to know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. Right on.
That clears up nothing for me.
Let's exactly. Leave it at that. That's a mystery.
All right. Coming in at number three.
Number three.
The Lost City.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world's sexiest cover model, Dash McMahon!
You do know you're not Dash, right? Dash is a character I made up.
Dash!
Oh, my God. Oh, crap.
We were promoting this on the show, weren't we? Lost
we
City in theaters?
Yeah.
Therefore, we love this film.
And we weren't even getting paid.
Oh, well,
have
fuck
you
it.
Seen, have you seen this one?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, I don't even know what it is.
This Sandra Bullock, or it's like she's an erotic novelist, I guess. Or
an erotic novelist?
Kind of writes as like Fabio. Romance novelist.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
And then it like comes to life. She's living in her own world or something.
Oh, that's hot.
That's what it looks like to me.
Okay, I'm down. I mean, you know, that sounds sexy.
Channing Tatum is the Fabio.
Hell yes. Okay. Now I'm down. I love me some C-Tates, dude.
C-Tates.
He's so good.
Do you think Fabio ever had a band at some point? I wonder. With that long blonde hair, it seems like he must have had one.
Feels like he was in Rammstein. Is he German?
He's Italian, I think.
Oh, Fabio. Right. Yeah, I don't know why I thought it was German. Because he has that like Aryan.
Swiss Alps.
Yeah. So,
he'd have been a good like character like in Guar or something like that.
Yeah.
Put him in some armor.
Just a glam rock god. Yeah.
All right, coming in at number two.
Number two.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Hell yeah.
Oh, great, the Winter Soldier.
Who's Sonic?
Oh, that's Ben Schwartz.
Oh, yeah, Ben Schwartz.
Yeah.
Signify the commitment.
So help me, Thomas.
Sorry.
Oh, fan service there.
Yeah, that was the music.
Is this an Elfman?
No.
I just remember, I didn't see the first one. I just remember the all the hoopla over the model, the 3D model.
Yeah, they made like him shit. too weird looking, and then they caved and made him look like regular Sonic, and then I lost all respect for the franchise.
You wanted them to stick with it?
Yeah, never fucking submit
go
to
down
the piggies.
In flames.
What do the piggies know? That movie would have been a hit anyways, but the I don't know, just like being like, oh, the fans say it doesn't. Fuck the fans. Who are they?
What's the idea behind changing it? I mean, how do you justify
because
that?
Because it looked very bad. Like
no, but I mean, I'm saying, why? What's the idea behind changing it from the original look?
I think because
anyway.
They were like, look, at this point, we're making
a
Sonic
Pac-Man movie. I want it to be yellow. I'm sorry.
Right.
Well, they realized they were making a Sonic movie about 20 years too late for anyone to care. Because, if that had come out 20 years ago, I would have been fucking so stoked on it. I loved Sonic the Hedgehog. I watched both of the TV shows that got canceled.
Oh, wow.
I never heard of that.
Yeah,
of anyone watching those.
Oh, I loved them. And there was one where we had, what's his name? The guy who played Urkel voiced Sonic, and the other one was closer to like an anime type thing. But both of them got canceled. And so they were like, listen, we're going to reintroduce people to Sonic. So we're going to make him kind of uglier, I guess. And I guess people didn't want that. They wanted the cute, big-eyed Sonic the Hedgehog. And they caved. Never cave. But it was a big hit, so you know, maybe they know what they're talking about. I just hate when when movie studios listen to fans.
But what if the emoji movie? They shouldn't look like emojis? I mean,
they should look like live action faces, you know? They should make it, you know, fucking Anthony Hopkins should play the happy face emoji.
Yeah.
Fuck. No, I mean, I just don't.
I'm with you in general. I think there's been maybe a few cases where I'd be like, yeah, I'm glad they changed it. Maybe you should listen to the fans on this one. This sucks.
Very rarely. And I feel like even if the fans are right, don't set the precedent. Just make.
Yeah, it
the
does
thing.
Set a bad precedent.
Yeah. Listen to fans.
Yeah, buy it or don't.
Metallica shouldn't have cut their hair. I still stand by that. Like in the mid-90s, if they listened to the fans, they would have had maybe another classic album.
But instead,
they could do it.
Reloaded came out.
Right, exactly.
I like that album.
Compromise.
That is pretty good, actually.
People talk shit.
Saint
on
Anger
it.
Was a pile of shit, though.
That was bad. That was legitimately bad.
Yeah. Then they picked it up. All right, coming in at number two. Number one, actually.
Number one.
Fantastic Beasts, The Secret of Dumbledore.
Oh, boy.
If you listen carefully enough, the past whispers to you.
It just sounds like a sample from the DJ tent.
Yeah, it does. Coachella!
That would be my brother.
Coachella!
The world as we know it is coming undone.
Grindelwald
is pulling it apart with hate.
You know what would save this franchise? American Wizard School, and then they battle each other. Nobody.
What do American Wizards
too
even
insular
look like?
What they're doing over there?
I feel like American Wizards would have more fun with it. At this point, I'm just like, I'm tired of British Wizards.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Yeah. Oh, we got to start David Beckham fish and chips.
I feel like American Wizards would be sort of founding fathers era, you know? British Wizards
are
sort of medieval.
We taught them how to do like guerrilla warfare. They were all just lining up with their muskets. We could shake this thing up.
Yeah.
American Wizards with guns.
I like it. It's the School of the Americas, but for wizards. It's just teaching all of Latin America how to overthrow an election.
I love that. Instead of a magic wand, it's just a gun. You're a wizard.
I command this bullet.
Yeah. The bullets are just little wands that go through your enemy.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that movie, I thought that movie was bombing.
That's what I heard.
It's maybe it's number one in theaters, but compared to a bunch of other movies that are also bombing. But yeah, apparently
people are tired of that.
I think J.K. Rowling also she has decided to like ruin her artistic her integrity and her brands completely, like by just doubling down on being just an online right wing troll. She's made people less interested in like the expanded Harry Potter universe. And she didn't realize that like so much of her fan base were people who thought that she liked outcasts and liked people who society generally. Yeah. Like society generally deems as like, oh, you know, not proper or whatever the fuck. Like instead, she's just like very.
Very strange choice. For her to make, because she was just, I mean, you could not be a more successful person.
Like,
and beloved, and she skirted by the whole anti-Semitism thing.
She got away
with
people
her trolls
were
or
to
whatever.
Forgive that people, and that was the thing. Like people were, they were like, yeah, okay, well, you know, maybe she made all of the bankers into little Jewish trolls.
Yeah,
but you know what? The rest of the book is okay. And then she was just like, you know, started to become, you know, a TERF or whatever. And then everyone was like, okay, she might just genuinely be a piece of shit.
Yeah. Oh, she probably meant the banker.
Anyone doing that kid stuff, Walt Disney, you got to question it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Probably true.
Honestly, it's especially if you are become a billionaire off of it, you know?
Then it shows you're not just a wild-eyed child.
No, you are now a powerful demon person. And, you know, she fucked it up herself. She could have just she could have just not said anything, you know? She could have just been like, hey, I have my own opinions about things, but I don't feel the need to tweet them.
Yeah.
But instead, she
donate to various groups. Keep it quiet.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of people out there who are like just privately fantastical pieces of shit. But she was like, no, I'm going to do this publicly. Account.
Let's go.
All right. That's the movie chart.
Oh, that was number one?
Yeah.
All right. That was the movie chart. We'll be right back with the hot picks.
Hell yeah.
Isn't it funny to watch Coachella on Sunday and you're just like, you know, of course, there's all these like, you know, trust fund kids and, you know, rich kids with nothing, no obligations. But you're still just like, it's Sunday night. Like, what?
Yeah. What are you doing tomorrow?
Or just, you know, like the weekend and Swedish House Mafia at 11:30 on Sunday night. Like, crazy.
I didn't see any weekend. I saw some of the Swedish House Mafia and I just didn't get it. Like, I didn't understand how they would possibly go after Doja Cat.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't like.
It's just like three.
Even
older
the weekend,
dudes.
He goes out and sings, and I guess his whole thing is kind of compelling, like because he's just such an antisocial falsetto singing guy. Yeah. But he doesn't do anything. There's no banter between songs. There's nothing like creative put into the performance.
Did you see Phineas solo?
No,
that was funny. It was funny watching him do his own thing.
Was
he had a twee big suit on, like almost David Byrne level, but almost also trying to be kind of a sexy guy or something. But some of the songs were pretty good actually. But it was
good enough.
Yeah, I mean he's obviously good, but on his own it was kind of funny.
Chicano Batman was pretty good.
Oh yeah, I've heard good things.
It's very mellow, but it's good. There was this British rapper Dave. And he picked a kid out of the crowd to do one of his songs with him. Uh-huh. And the kid was fucking unbelievable.
Wow.
Like the kid was just like better than him at his own song.
Damn.
It was fun.
All right. Let's get into it.
The hot picks. The hot picks. The third chart is the hot picks and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who brought a hot pick and let's see who did not. The hot picks.
I sounded like a priest with LAS on that. Father Stew. Go see it in theaters. This portion of the show is brought to you by Father Stew, already in theaters.
Yeah, and suffer through it. You'll get closer to God.
Forget what we said in the last segment. Now we want you to see it.
Yeah, get over there. All right. These are the hot picks. We'll see if we did better than... What was our chart? YouTube?
We did the Apple Music chart.
Apple Music. I bet we did better. Let's find out.
Let's do it. Okay, coming in at number five.
Number five.
This is Howard's first pick. We're going to listen to some Grupo Firme.
Hell yeah. From Tijuana.
Yeah. This is Cada Quien.
What does that mean?
I don't know what Cada means, but Quien is who, right?
Whose face?
Ooh.
They're drinking tequila in the video, too.
They are?
Yeah.
They really are Tijuana, I mean, incarnate.
No drums.
This one's just guitar. Which guy's singing? The old guy with the sunglasses?
No, younger guy.
Oh.
That was a great drop of a beat right there.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah. This is... It's intense. Anyway, go see them live. See when they get the horns going. But there you go. Grupo Firme out of Tijuana.
Yeah.
They, I guess it's not that far of a drive. They could even drive to Coachella, but they would have needed like 7-8 vans. I mean, incredible.
That was really good. That was good.
It was good.
That slapped. I'm a fan of that.
Musically, right, that was like interesting too. Like that I heard some fresh ideas in
if
there.
If someone did those songs in English, I know that's kind of a bastardization, like the burrito or something. But they should. I mean, it might have more of a crossover appeal.
Yeah, I mean, apparently they also like have done collaborations with Taylor Swift and Harry Styles.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
What? This is from Spanish Wikipedia. So I'm doing my best to use Google Translate here, but I cannot find... This is what it says. It says, they have important collaborations with Taylor Swift, Harry Styles, and of course, Louis Tomlinson.
He's from One Direction. He's one of the scrubs from One Direction.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Lewis Tomlinson is?
Yeah, Harry and Zane were the stars, and then you had these two scrubs, Lewis and Liam.
One of the scrubs.
I did not know that. Yeah, they're doing big shit. These guys right on. Are on top of the world.
All right. Well, we got to look further into that, hear those collabs.
All right. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Oh, this one's for you, Howard. This is Camila Cabello with Psycho Freak featuring Willow Smith.
Oh, wow.
I saw this performance on SNL, and I was really impressed. Like, I really liked it.
Really?
And Willow kind of stole the show.
Was this past week?
I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Was it? It was after the slap?
It was after the slap. Wow. Willow's really, she's got her own thing.
She probably
dropped
her last name. Or if she has an
own. Yeah. It's kind of a weird song. I don't know. I kind of liked it.
Is that Willow?
That's Camila.
Trippy.
Wait, I just got to show you the screen real quick so you see what Willow's bringing to this.
Oh, this is we're watching the SNL here?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. She's looking like mom with the shaved head.
Yeah.
Is she playing the guitar?
She is.
Almost.
I think that's the St. Vincent model.
Yeah, she's doing something interesting. She's great on that other song. Let this new generation of Smiths take over.
I mean,
kids do it.
I would love it if they all just collectively decided to, like, all get into accounting, you know? Or, like, right, go to law
Make
school.
Make yourselves useful in another way.
Yeah, I just, like, I don't need another generation of Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith's kids out there. I feel like they're all such...
I said that about Billy Ray Cyrus, though, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes it works out, but I feel like they're all just industry rich kids. And I thought, like, I don't know, I thought as a society, we were, you know, firmly against rich industry kids being propped up as
I'm with you, but
heroes.
There's this one song she has called Meet Me at Our Spot,
yeah,
which is
Willow,
like one of my favorite
else.
Songs of the year. So I think it's just kind of, I totally agree with you theory-wise, but somehow she just like shit out a classic somehow.
I mean, in general, it's Jaden that I don't enjoy.
I don't enjoy Jaden, but Willow's got something unique, I think.
If Willow's got something unique, then that's good too. But,
did you see that Ice-T tweeted something about Will Smith saying that he's like one of the best wordsmiths he's ever met?
No, like, really?
He was saying that Will has like actually crazy chops, like going back in the day, and he was like blown away.
I love
and
that.
By
he's
the
like,
way,
he's
that
like
makes,
one of the greatest wordsmiths I've ever seen. Oh, sorry. Will Smith.
Will Smith. Yeah, he should have named one of his kids Word.
Yeah. Honestly, if he was that good of a wordsmith, he would have named one of his kids Word.
That has got to be what the crux of the problem was.
Because yeah.
Thought it was a Will Smith. A wordsmith? A Will Smith.
Just like the next tweet is just asterisk Will Smith.
Yeah, typo, sorry.
A typo, my bad.
All right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
This is Matt's pick. This is Lil Durk with Aha.
Mm-hmm. Man, he's fucking his bitches. Some niggas, his son. I'm hanging with killers. Be breaking a bond. They really don't mean it. He say it in songs. They really don't mean it. He play it in songs. We been slaying through they blocks and they don't know we have. But he has got shot and we ain't claiming. But I can show his ass. Niggas acting like they really like that. Says my Brody dad. Just get out the feds. You bring up murders with your police. Police ass. So finally that bitch she post her OnlyFans. Yeah.
OnlyFans.
I love the energy of this guy. I like his like singing stuff too, but I don't know. I enjoy his intensity. I like a good intense drill song. The intensity is something that I feel like we haven't had in kind of this recent iteration of kind of more, I don't know, like whatever street hip hop music where we had kind of like this.
Rap.
Yeah. You had the, you know, the mumble rap trap music that was kind of like it was just too chill for me.
Yeah. It was very sleepy.
You're less aggressive, more just like sitting around taking drugs.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, you know, that's sometimes that can be like a nice, like smooth vibe to like listen to. But we just haven't had like the intense kind
the
of
rah,
like,
rah.
Yeah. The
I'm with you.
The violent sounding music, which is, I don't mean to, you know, like call it like violent, but you know, like metal, like fucking,
right.
Like, I don't know, horrorcore hip hop. Like that to me is like, I like it. And also I enjoy listening to music where I have no idea what half of the slang means. And I just guess, you know,
there's some new ones on there.
Oh, there's, I mean, you know, like there's just, I don't know what the song is referring to specifically with most of this, but apparently there's this guy, Vaughn, and
King Vaughn,
and you're not supposed to respond to shit with him. I don't know what it means.
Oh.
With Vaughn. I'm like, fuck it. You tripping. Go get your gun.
Right.
They drop in locations. I'm getting it done. Fuck tweeting. We sliding. The feds will come. I don't know why the feds would come. I do enjoy that they're saying, like, hey, guys, stop tweeting your locations out. That's a good way to get hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is just good. That's just good advice. Sage advice.
I mean, there that is a thing that was specific to Chicago, where yes. people were tracking other gang members on social media and yeah. WhatsApp and mm-hmm. figuring out where they are to go kill them.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I don't think, obviously, I think all of the violence that's like coming out of Chicago with this scene is kind of is obviously it's bad, but I don't know. There's like it's I'm back to the 90s where I'm like the music is a reflection of what the fuck's going on. It's not the other way around. The music isn't right. causing the problems. The problems exist whether or not they're singing songs about it. Right. So
and there's no end to the music either.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as there's oppression and, you know, yeah. disaffected youth and everything, it's going to keep coming.
It's going to keep going, yeah. And when it's really raw, it's you just can't help but be like, this is good. This, I don't know. It's like
yeah,
good music.
The energy.
Lil Durk is great.
All right, coming in at number two.
Number two.
This is my second pick. This is Third Secret, which is a brand new sort of grunge supergroup. That Whoa. Actually put out an album that I'm really digging.
Really? Who are the super members?
Chris Novoselic from okay. Nirvana
Never
and Kim Thayil yeah. and Matt Cameron from Soundgarden.
None wow. of the big guys. None of the biggies.
Well, the big guys are dead.
They're all dead.
No, but with new like female vocalists, I'm not sure who they are.
Okay.
But the music is like pure. It's like a Soundgarden album.
Oh, it's China Phillips.
It's like this guy's paying hot shots.
Wilson Phillips. Who could they get from that era, though, female wise?
I don't think it's a from that era. Okay. Which
Eddie
maybe
Vedder's
is a good,
still alive?
Maybe it was a good move, but oh, yeah, it's basically Vedder? Like a Soundgarden album that never was. But okay. I'm really liking it. This is called "I Choose Me."
Liz Phair. They got Liz Phair. That's Elvira, I think. Interesting to hear that sound with a female singer.
Yeah.
Women were not represented in grunge when you think about it.
No,
not much.
I mean, Courtney Love, I mean, that's not even, she was after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, Courtney Love was there, but I don't know. Like, because grunge was such a specific sound. Like, during that time, the Cranberries had that song Zombie. That was kind of grunge.
Yeah,
grungy?
Close.
I don't
it's
know.
Dirgy. It's dirgy.
PJ Harvey,
yeah. But would you
Garbage.
Call her a grunge artist?
I mean, all of these are kind of hovering around
there was
but
no,
not true
There was
grunge.
No big female grunge hit, I don't think.
Kim yeah. Gordon?
I mean, Sonic Youth was not grunge. They were way before grunge.
They were like...
I know, but grunge is hard to define. It's kind of more like an era and a scene.
But it does have that slow churn.
Because Pearl Jam doesn't
it's
sound
like
anything
punk
like
Alice in Chains. Sort of.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like interesting stuff.
Noise art is Sonic Youth.
Right.
But anyway, I don't even know if that's my favorite song on the album, but the album is really good. Like, check it out. It's really, really good. I'm
what
impressed.
Are they called again?
Third Secret.
Third Secret.
Mm.
Right on.
It should have been called The Leftovers.
Yeah, that warm
just
yeah. Yesterday's domino.
Yeah, the alive members. Yeah. Still here, motherfucker. Yeah.
To go container.
Yeah.
All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
This is Howard's first pick, and he's on this.
That's right. I did a rap song with Marshland Monster. Shout out to Marshland Monster. We're on Spotify. And the song's called Gene Material.
Gene Material. Whoops.
That's not it. What are you
wow.
doing to me?
You sound like Soundgarden, too. All right, now here it is.
Oh, I couldn't help but notice. You couldn't take your eyes off my new jeans.
Me and my girlfriends went shopping. They found jeans, they looked hot in. They shared them for the summer. In the dressing room, they shared Hummer. On my horn,
this is Dirty Guy.
Yeah.
On my javelin, chick flick.
Howard the Stallion.
There you go. Dragon Boy Stallion.
Dragon Boy Stallion. Yeah.
There you go. Feels good to have a new record out.
Sounds
we're
going to
keep them coming. Check that out over on Spotify. Get us some plays. I'm signing up for DistroKid to get my money. That's probably not the way you promote a single. Yeah.
Signing up to get my royalty checks.
Yeah, I'm on ASCAP, guys.
Dude, if you guys remember my social security number, could you please email it to me?
Right on. So, yeah, check that out, you guys. Thanks for playing that.
That's
Matt, it was fantastic to have you on. You know, way more about music than we ever could have hoped. You were a fantastic guest. Tell us about Goodfellas, the Sopranos podcast.
Yeah.
And anything else you'd like to promote.
Yeah, I do a Sopranos rewatch podcast called Pod Yourself a Gun. And we go through every single episode of The Sopranos and mostly just kind of talk about a lot of the jokes that we liked. And, you know, we do some light analysis, but mostly it's just a comedy podcast with some people who really like The Sopranos. I also, ever since I think season 4, I started every week I do a new Sopranos parody song. Where I'd say the premise of the episode, like the synopsis, but in the musical stylings of whatever. So I have like I did Kiss from a Rose by Seal, but it was about how Vito Spatafore is gay because he gets found out for being gay and he has to run. I did the episode Long Term Parking. It's a classic, and I just did it to the tune of Under Pressure. And I work really hard on the production value, so fucking check it out. It's really fun.
Nice.
Right on. Where can we find those songs? Are those just on the podcast?
Yeah, those are on the podcast, Pod Yourself a Gun. You can also follow me on Instagram at Matt Lieb Jokes, and you'll see the music videos for all of those. Also, you can follow at Pod Yourself a Gun on Instagram for all the songs there too.
Right on. All right, awesome. And check out a stand-up, guys. Some do set, super funny.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed being on. Thanks for having me on your guys' show. I love this show.
Of course.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll have you back again. How about you, Stard?
Yeah, get on CBB World. Sign up for a membership and get tons of podcasts I've been producing. Last week, we recorded a Bob Duca show called Full Throttle. It's episode three of Full Throttle, and that was, I mean, it's a masterpiece. If I do say so myself, Seth Morris is a genius.
Wow,
you gotta listen. Yeah,
I'd love to check that out. Stay tuned. We got big announcements coming for this show. Also, check out Drop Date Duel and Grift Horse over there with Megan Beth Keister, and we will see you right here next week on Who charted?